Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started here. Lord, thank you for this time and for these ladies that have put this as a priority. I pray that you'll give us what we need from you. And Lord, thank you that your word is so clear and gives us all that matters in life. And Lord, would you help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are looking at love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. Does come the issues of life, but mind and what we think dictate who we are. And so we've been looking at that just step by step according to the book with the same name. And the thought processes that we have must be brought under the control of the Spirit of God. And this is very important. And I'd like us to look again at Philippians chapter 4, which is a passage we've looked at, but you find here in this book where Paul is in prison, and yet you have wonderful themes about who Christ is, but the real key theme is thinking right. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and out of that comes great joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, you find in chapter 4, and you see the key there is in verse 8 of chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, say the rest of the verse with me, think on these things. It is a choice about what you think. Now, we do have all these channels in our brain and little roads that have been made by habits of thinking. So very quickly, thoughts can come to our mind. But we're talking here about not letting certain thoughts dominate. That's where you make the decision. I mean, we can have the craziest thoughts. We can have the craziest thoughts, but you don't need to meditate on it. And so it's very important to think about the right things. And that's what we've been looking at, especially with the Word of God. Today, the emphasis is on thinking the truth about others. Because this is where a lot of wrong thinking comes in, especially for women. And why would that be so? Well, God has created you to be a helpmate. God has created you with tremendous discernment when it comes to people and the need for relationships. If you've been in a family where you have a close family, and everybody's out, but you've got married couples and all, and who is the glue that keeps that whole family together? Mom. When mom goes home to be with the Lord or dies, if she didn't know the Lord, what happens to the glue? It's sort of, boy, you got to work at keeping everybody together. Once mom was gone, which my mother died early, we've worked at it, but I mean, she was the key. I mean, that's really the glue. And it's that relational ability that God has given to you. So you think in terms of relationship. That's what gets you frustrated in a marriage relationship. The husband's thinking about what he's supposed to do and the wife is thinking about him. And sometimes he's not where you would like him to be in his thought process. But that's the way God made us. And so the negative side of that would be to be insecure about relationships and to be thinking wrong things. You know, discernment is spiritual, but discernment without being spiritual is what? Critical, questioning, negative. And so you've got to be very careful when it comes to strengths that you have, because if those strengths are not empowered by the Spirit, then those strengths can become a weakness. And that's what she tries to deal with here. So she's talking about an overactive mind when thinking about relationships. Guilty of wondering what people are thinking about you. I tell you, folks, let me just say right from the beginning, you do not ever get it completely right when you're supposing about somebody else. Just learn that to be the case. You don't know. Now, you can be very discerning, and sometimes that person will tell you what they're thinking, but even what the motive was and what their situation is, you're going to find if you really knew the whole truth, you don't have it completely right. That's why communication is so important. You know, even though you're very discerning with your husbands, those of you that are married, your discernment may be a little bit skewed, and you may have it off as to what your husband is really thinking. Don't try to get into the mind of a man. It's all messed up. It is so important for us to realize that we can get overactive minds. And she talks about very creative explanations for people's actions. For example, he's been grumpy lately, so he must be angry with me. And that may not have a thing to do with anything. You know, when somebody just sort of doesn't seem to respond to you like they have before, you may have something there, or they may have a physical problem, or they may be carrying an emotional burden that they can't talk about. And you're taking it personally when actually they needed you to respond right. That happens all the time. So we've got to have our minds under control. Or somebody wants you to call them, and you worry to death about what that call is. Must be a problem. You know, I mean, it's amazing how much anxiety we have about things that aren't true. And so we can let our minds get going, and we've got to be very, very careful. So talks here in this chapter about understanding the principle of love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, the apostle writes under inspiration, love thinketh no evil. I tell you, giving people the benefit of the doubt is so important. And then the one that I really strikes me all the time, believeth all things. We have a tendency to be, looking on the negative side of things and looking at wrong motives. Take things at face value. It doesn't mean you don't have to have, that you shouldn't have some discernment. But love doesn't think evil and believes all things, responds in a good, wholesome way. Well, you say, I might be taken advantage of, or I may be, you know, that's naive. Well, I tell you what, I'd rather err on the side of being naive and giving people the benefit of the doubt than constantly having a cynical attitude toward what a person is thinking and what they mean by what they're doing. That's a miserable way to live. And that is a way a lot of people live. And again, ladies, there is a tendency, just because of your strength in the matter of being sensitive with relationships, it's a tendency that can be there. And so you can distort what a person is saying, misinterpret what they're trying to do, read things into people's words and actions. I, of course, have had to moderate a number of things, you know, being a pastor. I'm always amazed. You know, you'll come and this person, you know, the other person's there, and they've done this, and they're thinking this, or whatever, and then the other person talks and said, that's not what I was doing, you know. Now, I did say that, and this is what I meant. That wasn't wise. Well, by the time you finish about 20 minutes later, the person that was thinking all these things, oh, I'm sorry, I misinterpreted. The other person's thinking, well, I need to be responsible because I didn't give a very good impression. But the whole thing's different than what everybody thought it was. You know, and I said, we got this clear? I mean, this is, and this is what needs to be done. That's why a husband and wife, if they don't communicate, they're going to misunderstand each other. And in situations that you have working relationships with people where you've got to work together, you've got to communicate. Give people, though, the benefit of the doubt. Don't question them. Don't let Satan play on your mind. Believe all things. If they said something, believe them. You may prove out to be, your concern might prove out to be true, but I'd much rather be naive. And that's very important. So we need to stop our wild speculative thoughts. What is really true and real? So putting the principle of love to work, we need to learn to think no evil of another person. We've got to quit second guessing, reading between the lines, and if someone says they love us, Well, then we need to accept that. If a person says that's what happened, then accept that. Now, you may be lied to, but you know, I again would rather have a trusting spirit than constantly being negative all the time. And by the way, when we show love, do you think God can work on that other person if they aren't really being honest? No doubt about it. It's amazing what can happen. And so if your husband says he loves you, then believe that he loves you, okay? The worst thing in the world is, you don't really, don't get into that argument. That's not where you want to go. And so it's important to truly listen to what a person is saying and to take things at face value. Now, let me stop here. This is not right here in the lesson, but I find, and I've mentioned this before, that one of the ways for you to have a right perspective on someone and not get into wild speculation is to really pray for them. If you're praying for somebody and you have the heart of the Lord for them, the Lord is able to give you a love for them, and you just don't take things personally and you're not trying to evaluate what they're doing. And by the way, if you are confident in the Lord, it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, if you are right with God and you're encouraged in the Lord and you realize that it's not about me, it's not about me being liked and accepted, it's about me serving the Lord, and you've had a good time with Him and you're not all about yourself, well, then you're going to be far better off when the temptation may come to let your mind go about what somebody is thinking about you, what you think they may have said, how they said it. You give them the benefit of the doubt. Why? Because you have prayed for them and God has put a love in your heart for them. I'll guarantee you, if you have had negative thoughts about someone over a period of days and you haven't prayed for them and you're really not walking with God, the next time they say something to you, do you think you'll probably misinterpret it? Almost 100% of the time. But if you're praying for them and you have released things, you're walking with the Lord, you want the best for them, you realize we're all fallible, we all do dumb things, and then they say something, you just take it at face value. And it's not about you. It's a total different spirit. And I tell you, that is really important. But I tell you, there's a lot of misery that ladies go through in particular in this matter of second guessing and worrying about what people think. What's the extreme condition called when you're constantly thinking about what people are, about them being negative about you? That person is neurotic. Okay. Now, I'm not for all these classifications because they all sort of blend into things here. But did you know that if you get too much fear and you are living really focused on yourself, that you can get borderline psychosis in this matter of being neurotic? I have talked to folks and a number of ladies, and they're convinced somebody's thinking evil against them. And then we look into it, and they were very believable. And then you look into it and realize that's not the truth at all. Now we've got an emotional problem here, and it's because they're not handling life. They've gotten themselves in great fear. It could well be their marriage that they're fearful about or other things, but it's translated into this illogical fear about someone that they have actually believed. You don't have any kind of emotional problem if you know you have it. It's when you take yourself seriously is when you have an emotional problem. Because at times you say, you know, man, I'm fearful about this, or I know I'm thinking things that I shouldn't be thinking. Well, you're just battling it. That's not. But boy, when you take yourself seriously, she doesn't like me. She's saying things about me. And she's done this to me. And then you find out, no, none of those things are true. Or very little of it's true. I really feel sorry for a person that lives in an unreal world. So don't go there. Don't go there. That's of course, the severe side of it all. But a person that lives without the freedom in their heart can really have this issue. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, if you would, because I want to look at this very important principle. I'm very glad that she included this in here, because this, I think, is very important Matthew chapter 18 has some wonderful principles about prayer, corporate prayer, and relationships among believers. And you read in verse 15 of chapter 18, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Now, here is the command that if you know that someone has done wrong and that is an issue, then that if somebody sins against us, what are you supposed to do? Go to them. Not talk to others about them or sit there and fret. So you solve it. Okay, so I mean you go if you know they did do something. In other words, it's a clear cut, this is a problem. See, a lot of times wrong thinking comes out of truth at the beginning and then it goes into make-believe stuff later. And so you need to have a clear conscience of going to people in private and handling it biblically. Now, if it's a major issue and they won't handle it, then you have in this passage the fact that you then take someone else with you, and then you take leadership of the church if it's an important issue, and you can solve it that way. And relationships do need to be solved. But, you know, 99% of them get solved one-on-one, unless they're a very serious issue that can't be solved that easily. But so instead of spending a lot of energy and time on thinking about something, go find out. And by the way, someone may have hurt you, but you may find out that you've already expanded and exaggerated it. You go talk to them and you realize, wow, this wasn't as big a deal as I thought. Or it might have been a big deal, but it's a good thing to get it settled. And so you have done what you should do. And then that should end it. That just ends the situation. And so it's a wonderful thing. You really don't ever, in your realm of relationships, ever want to dread coming across somebody else's path. You really want to have the right heart attitude, and if you need to do Matthew 18, then you need to follow the Lord's leadership, communicate it through, let the Lord lead, and do what you know that you needed to do. If you have to get help because it's not gotten solved, then get it from spiritual leadership that's right. Don't talk about it. Don't gossip. Don't complicate this whole matter. But really just keep a freedom in your soul. And it will make a huge difference. Proverbs 28:1 talks about how the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And so if you haven't done anything wrong, then don't act like it. I mean, in other words, proceed with your relationships and have just a confidence when you are with people. Honestly, some ladies just walk around fearful about what a bunch of ladies are thinking. That's a miserable, I mean, if you have that problem, you need to get some counsel. We need to work on that. And there's more to that. There's more of that than sometimes is willing to be admitted to. And so you really don't need to figure, are people going to think dumb things? Have you thought dumb things about people? Have you ever said anything dumb? Okay, we just got to all be on the same team. We're a bunch of dumb people. Okay. I mean, we just need to be for each other. That's okay. I'm glad you realize you shouldn't have said it, but I mean, you just don't let it get to you. You realize that when you're so worried about what somebody's thinking, it's all about you. It isn't the principle of love. You're not free. You just don't need to fear anybody. And some people may be jealous of you or might have this or that, but don't you think God can work in their heart? And if you've done anything that should be done from Matthew 18, there's nothing else you can do. Pray for them, love them, and go right on. And I tell you what, if you'll engage people, that maybe you've been a little fearful about and love them and do something for them with the right motive and communicate with them? Do you think maybe that kind of funny feeling might melt away? Sure. It's the way Christians should be. Now, applying some principles here to our thoughts. Remember, we're talking about love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind. And so we need to, our thoughts need to be pure, positive, and prayerful about everyone. We've got to not second guess, analyze, and have suspicions, and have self-doubt and insecurities. These things we've got to ask God. And so some of the keys that she's given are very basic but very helpful. Choose to think on that which is real and true. True and real. In other words, just choose to think right, wholesome thoughts. That's why prayer is such an important thing in this matter of relationships. But don't let yourself get to supposing. Don't go beyond what you know to be true. Corral your thoughts and refuse to second guess or draw conclusions about people's behavior. Corral your thoughts and refuse to second guess or draw conclusions about people's behavior. Just don't do it. Don't you really appreciate it when somebody gives you the benefit of the doubt? And just a couple weeks ago, a leader talked to me and told me another preacher had said something about something we were going to do as a ministry, and it was totally false. But he said, I'm coming to you just simply because it's the right thing to do. But he said, I immediately told that person that can't be true. And he says, I just know better than that. And so he dismissed it with that person. Well, we communicated then with the person that communicated that, and they apologized profusely because they were out of line, and that thing got stopped. Boom, right there. Okay. I never worried about it much. Fearful about what everybody's thinking. It wasn't that big a deal, but it was still something that could hurt the testimony, not of us, but of another organization. And so you just don't, I appreciated that man. What did he do? He didn't jump to any conclusions. He just immediately accepted the fact that what was said was not true because he knew our philosophy and our ministry, and then we were able to collaborate that, and we just didn't let it affect us emotionally. There was no need to, because truth is truth, and you can just be free when it comes to that. Right. That's absolutely right. One of the things, I tell you what, we'd stop a lot of gossip if we would just say, and I mentioned this, I think last week, maybe, I forget which group I'm speaking to, but when somebody says something to you and you're not part of the problem or part of the solution, you need to stop and say, I don't need to hear anymore. Let's go talk to that person right now. Boy, that solves it real quickly if you're consistent. You are not going to be a good gossip post, okay? I like to just stop people. Oops, I'm not part of this. I really don't need to hear it. And let's go talk to so-and-so. I'm sure they'd be glad to talk to you about it. Oh boy, that changes that chemistry real fast. All right, count on others to tell you if you have failed in your behavior. In other words, don't be fearful of being corrected. That's not somebody being negative. It's one of the things we're talking about discipleship. We're talking about having people that can be involved in our lives and be transparent. You lose a lot of negativity in your mind and fears when you are not insecure yourself and you want to grow. And your burden is to become more and more like Jesus. And so you're not fearful if somebody does correct you. And here's what happens. A lot of times ladies will have somebody try to help them and then they'll start getting fearful with that person. That's why so few people try to help other people, because they're afraid that they might lose a friend over just honestly trying to help them. That's deep insecurity. I tell you, a true friend will say to you, I don't know if you realize it, but you keep saying this, and that's probably not the wisest thing to do. You need to say, thank you. That is exactly right. I'm telling you, those kind of things are like gold and you respond right, you've actually gained a friend, and you can have a trusted relationship. So don't keep getting fearful. The fact is, we got problems, don't we? So let's don't try to be unrealistic about it. And then count on God's Spirit to point out when you have offended somebody. Just ask the Lord to help you realize that if there is a real issue that, and there's something you can do about it, then you need to do something about it. And not to be constantly worrying about it. Just, you know, honestly, don't go looking for stuff. Let the Holy Spirit bring it to you. I mean, if there's something you need to get right, believe me, He can convict you and it'll be obvious. Satan accuses, as I say all the time, and the Holy Spirit convicts. And He does it with hope that things can be corrected. So very important that we just trust the Lord to help us in that way. And then finishing out here, I can't take the time to go into it much, but the key, of course, is the power of God's Word. And so the more you know about relationships, communication, the right attitudes toward people, you ought to memorize the love chapter. That helps enormously. But God's power will help lift you out of defeat, cause you to be encouraged and quit having the despair. You'll have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. And you will see God overcome the faulty mental habits. And that's going to be said over and over and over in this little series about the power of God in your life. And so the more you're in the Word, the more you're hearing the Word, the more you're saturated by it, the more you have memorized it, you just have a healthy perspective. So let me just say, if all of a sudden you get fearful about what somebody's thinking about you and it's bringing you down, you can just stop right there and know it's not right. Just say, I'm not going there. Well, they may or may not. It doesn't matter. I'm okay in the Lord anyway. Now, is there something I'm supposed to do? If not, then I just need to love them, be normal, and go on. And don't let that affect us. People, like I say, do dumb things. Don't be a victim of other people's bad days. You instead be a blessing. Be a victor. And don't let yourself have all these thoughts, but just be encouraged in the Lord. It really makes a difference. And I've only scratched on a problem that is a big one. And so ladies, you don't make problems when you don't need to, okay? If there is a problem, God will make it obvious to you and He'll give you a pathway to solve it. If not, just love folks and go on and be free. It's all right to be a little bit naive. It's all right to be a little bit believing all things. And it's really fine. Because, you know, somebody can be grumpy one day and fine the next. Have you ever felt differently about a person one day and then the next? Well, you feel differently about yourself every other day. You know, I mean, right? I mean, goodness. So don't put somebody into cement about how, I mean, they may have thought you were a little bit frustrating yesterday, but they think you're great today. Well, just don't get all bungled up about it, all right? Just be a blessing and walk with God.